would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings to the automatically deleted husband, and you've heard this before. I'm going to try to be short. I had an exhausting day. I made a comment yesterday about my server being under attack. Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I started measuring. I have my demo machine, and I put a monitor on there so I can see how many times somebody attempts to break in. And over the past 24 hours, 10. You know, which, you know, that would be random things. So that's I'm not concerned. When I looked at, I think I did it to another one. My Shofar Nexus machine, because I have four. I have the Kozlowski.org, Shofar Nexus, I have the demo machine, and now the one in South Africa, but the Shofar Nexus, it's not quite, but almost 100 over the day, which is, you know, kind of like, okay, that's more noticeable. But, when you have thousands upon thousands of servers, literally all over the world doing that, it's, you know, may not be that big of a deal. Kozlowski.org, we are approaching 20,000 in 24 hours. So that I would suggest it's a directed attack. It's a directed attack, but the question is, was it directed attack because some algorithm determined, well, this may be a good target? Or is it specifically, I want to go after this person? Or, you know, I don't know. Obviously, you know, the site has a number of provocative things on it, but I don't know. I can't assume either way. It was fascinating. I did some additional looks. Pakistan, Kazakhstan. I only looked at three or four. Chicago, I think it was. Anyway, again. It's all over the world, so my assumption is these are zombies that are being used. It has been continuing, so it's been a distraction. There is potentially an issue, whether it's related or not, I don't know, because I have the machine going down and staying down. You know, it's supposed to restart if there's a problem, and it's not. And that concerns me. So that's been a problem for several days now. I keep getting distracted in the things I should be doing. I've really worked on so I can see a little bit better what happens when it stops. And hopefully find out what the cause is. Technical gobbledygook. But the other things. You know, I did link yesterday to the Kaiser Kuyas video that I did a while back, and I'll link it to you for you again. It's interesting. The follow-up is also kind of interesting. But one of the things that reminds me is the Ecclesiastes 1. Verse 9. What has been this ESV, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. The nothing new under the sun is what's most often quoted, well, especially by me. But, you know, is there a thing which is said, see, this is new? It has been already in ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of latter things yet to be among those who come after. The phrasing of the last part is really kind of clumsy, I thought. I grabbed a couple of little other ones just because it's better phraseology, I think. The NET Bible. No one remembers the former events, nor will anyone remember the events that are yet to happen. They will not be remembered by future generations. I think that's a clear representation. When I looked, I think that really is a good representation. But the thing I find fascinating is, you know, again, the Bible is consistent. Because I mentioned this before. Acts 17:21. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. See, this is new. it's because, what they were doing, especially the idol worship and whatnot, was nothing new. You put a different flavor on it and whatnot, but it's the same thing. Plus, especially the other trend, they will not be remembered by future generations. So the stupidity that the older generations did, we completely forget about, and we do it again. Great, aren't we improving? The only real big difference, and I've wondered about this before, the big difference of today versus 1,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, whatever, is, they didn't have cars back then. They didn't have guns. They didn't have bombs. And nor computers. So we can do things easier and have a greater impact. I can have a whole lot more of an impact on a community with an atomic bomb than I can with my sword. there's a difference. I really wonder if part of the reason, when you go back post the flood, pre the flood, people were living, 900 years, kind of like, oh, I'm getting old. But post the flood, it was 120. And then later, the time of David, when he wrote the Psalms, it's the 70, 70 years. And it's not exactly, it's the rough approximate. And by the way, that still holds true today. You see the various estimates of longevity. People say, oh, look, it's going up because of medical science. Complete hogwash. Again, it's sanitation and nutrition that keeps people healthy and living long. And obviously, the longevity rate has plummeted by years in the last several years. And of course, when you measure it, when you look at particular areas that have short longevity is typically because of, again, nutrition or sanitation. Because as I point out, and I'll point out again, so many of the plagues in the years past were due to sanitation issues. People would collectivize in huge cities, the sanitation problems, and disease spread. And that's why one of the things that made cities grow so well is this, the sanitation system. That's why, the guy that picks up the trash and the guy that does your sewer does so much more for your health than the medical community. But anyway, besides that, one of the other things, it's the deception thing that really gets to me, because, when I did some study a while back, because I noticed this again, Butler, Smedley Butler, of roughly 100 years ago, he was the general that did the wars of racket thing and so forth. And, the style was so very different. And this was during a time where he would write basically a stump speech and would literally go around and no one would have heard it before, so he can repeat it and refine it and so forth. Because you can't really do it the same way anymore because it's recorded and broadcast. The techniques that are used are radically different, but that his stump speech was turned into the book, apparently slightly enhanced, but it's What Is the Racket? And again, the guy who did the, recreation of it, I think really did it very well. I'll try to remember to link that also, because that was really good. But the comment that was made back then is people are so stupid that they could market something to the American people and they'll buy it. So, people say, oh, we're getting smarter or we're getting stupider. No, it's the same. There's nothing new under the sun. The people of today are the people of 100 years ago, are the people 2,000 years ago in Athens, are the people during the time of Noah and so forth. In the sense that we, you know, it's the we tend towards sin. But I found two things fascinating because they both were released today. So I've got them both online for you. One's only like 6 hours old. one is James Corbett and Keith Knight. They did a little dialogue, tackled Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War, a book by Patrick Buchanan, apparently 10, 12 years ago, 14 years ago, 15, whatever it was. He wrote that book, and they go over a bunch of points. And I think the thing that's so fascinating is they go over the things that people don't know about, most people don't know about. And I think they went over like 10 points. And I think I might have known about three of them, actually. So, you know, which puts me well above average in that sense, because that's part of history that I perhaps put a little different study on than knowing that, you know, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. You know, oh, I got the year. Yeah, but why did he do it? You know, that, so, but more of why did World War II and World War I and so forth, why those things happen? Again, because, you know, my mom and dad were on opposite sides. So, I listened to that. I thought it was well presented, both sides. It was a fascinating dialogue. So I highly recommend it. So I have it on Kozlowski.org. Which, again, in this case, again, James Corbett is the one who simply says, take it, duplicate it, please. So I did. But something else happened a little while afterwards, and I think there's some similarity in a lot of respects. I've mentioned before Vovin and Lexus. These are two guys who do these spoofs. They say that they're, in this case, Vladimir Zelensky. And they called Jerome Powell, the guy who's, you know, head of the Federal Reserve. He's the current Federal Reserve. Yeah, because what's her name is now Secretary of Treasury. But anyway, it's revolving doors. You may have heard this. but I don't think it was one of their best. They did some others that were really pretty good. But again, it's there and it's in English. These guys are Russian. They actually, you can get their TV program, and that's all in Russian, so it's kind of, but they go and call people, and they fool them. And they say, I'm this person, that person, the other. It's, you know, this one was fine. But the one thing that was really concerning is when Jerome Powell said, the American people stand with you. I'm sorry, no. I don't. No, I don't. No, I'm sorry. I think Zelensky is making his $1 billion and destroying his own country and sacrificing his own people. It's what's the line now? You know, it's we're going to spend all the U.S. taxpayer dollars and all the Ukrainian lives to try to beat Russia. And they're destroying the country. I've heard one party suggest that's it. It's over with. Ukraine is finished. You know, and it is important to understand that the Ukraine of today or the last maybe 50 years is not the Ukraine of the 1940s, 30s or whatnot, which is not the Ukraine of like 1900, which is not the Ukraine of 1800s, 1700s, whatever. And again, it's different from the 1600s. And there's a reasonable suggestion in the 1600s, it was a fairly small area that were culturally Ukrainian. And, you know, the Donbass obviously has been Russian for, you know, a long time. Crimea been Russian. But even Odessa, you know, the other end has been basically Russian culturally. But the thing that's also fascinating is even Kiev was not part of the original Ukraine in like the 1600s or whatever. So it's fascinating. So, you know, you try to say, we got to retain what it is. Why? It wasn't that way before. What makes now the right way? Is it more important what the people there say? Because again, remember, the Ukrainian war is just like the Vietnam War. It's just like the war in Syria, the one in Iraq, and the one in Afghanistan, and so many others. It's a foreign influence that caused the tension in the country. It's not the people in the country themselves. They were just agitated. There's similar things in, especially like South America. There's I've listened to the author. I haven't read his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which is kind of what he did. Again, Smedley Butler. That's what he said. He was basically the muscle man for the corporate entities. You know, and anyway, it's. I recommend that. But the Vulvan and Lexus, you know, the one that really was really bad, I thought, was when they interviewed George Bush. And, you know, his line was, go kill more Russians. You know, that does not reflect well for those kind of things to be said by a former president. Anyway. I got really distracted. The good news is I was up and active before 5 today, and that was delightful. So I'm going to go to bed early. But the concern is Kozlowski.org is under an attack. Why? And the timing is it luck? Is it coincidence? I don't know. What's going on? Fortunately, I'm not an amateur, so I have the tools and I can see what's happening. So I know how to lock things. So I've locked things quite tightly, but the fact that it goes down and stays down. I got to find out why that happens, because that's obviously a big deal. Anyway, one other thing. In the process of reviewing some of these things, I listened to the voicemail I did in which where I referred back to the Kaiser Kurios video I did like in December or whatnot. And it reminded me, because I, at that point, I even talked about how I was maturing on the tithe. Because when I first became part of a Southern Baptist church back in the 80s, it was kind of like, oh, I'm supposed to tithe? That's what they tell me. And I was uncomfortable with that because they wanted a lot of money. Kind of like, whoa. And I dabbled at that a bit. And then once I started dabbling at it, it became a habit. And it became a habit for decades. You know, and especially, you know, for several years, I was the church treasurer. So I had a good sampling of what people did and didn't do. But, you know, as part of the maturing process, I initially did the records, reported on my taxes and so forth, because I did that's what everybody does, right? But it was when it went complete. You know, I was dabbling with this, but it became complete when we went to Covenant Presbyterian. Because I never dropped a check, because we were still using checks at that time, into the collection plate. You never labeled an envelope or things of that nature with cash. I did cash. And I did tithe. When I had a good salary, I did tithe. But there was no record of it. The only person who knew about it, you know, the exact amounts, would be me. Even my wife didn't know the amounts. I'm pretty sure she didn't know, because we didn't, I don't think we talked about it that much. But so, you know, tied the whole bunch of money to Covenant Presbyterian. And the thing that really found fascinating is, was there on a Wednesday evening, and one of the guys who was part of the financial committee, maybe even the treasurer, I don't know, he had a box full of envelopes, and he was going around just to hand the statements, the annual statements, to people, I guess instead of putting them in the mail. And I remember, because I watched him doing that, and then I watched how he came up to where, near where I was sitting, and I saw that he was looking at me, and he was looking through, and he couldn't find one for me. And, you know, I wonder what he thought. Is it, this guy doesn't tithe, this guy doesn't give us a dime? Oh, I gave a whole lot of dimes. anyway, but there was no record, because I wasn't tithing to him. I was tithing what I thought was obedience to Christ. And what I thought about is since I put that together, I wonder if that was something that was perhaps more known by the leadership, especially when we were having trouble, and may have amplified the idea, oh, this guy is bad because he doesn't tithe, even though they got a whole lot of tithe from me, but they didn't see it. So did somebody within leadership, especially involved with the exit of my wife, know about this, and did it influence? I don't know. But obviously the thought did cross my mind. Because when we can measure somebody, we can use that measurement so we can decide in our hearts and minds about that person, even though the reality was completely opposite, which I find fascinating. But, you know, at that time, I was struggling with, I don't want to share, the tithe is because I was trying to be an obedient to Christ, not because I'm trying to get a tax deduction. And so, there was a maturing in me. And then when I started to look at the tithe, food for the Levites, that man's not a Levite. This isn't food. If it is like we cannot do the animal sacrifices, even though there are some within various communities that strive to want to do animal sacrifices again, because it's supposed to be done at the temple. And there's no temple. There's the Alaska Mosque or the Dome on the Rock, depending upon where you sit on that. So, you know, that was cut off. But so is the Levites. To claim that you're a Levite, it's basically fraud. And I know people who do. So the tithe was specifically bring the tithe to the storehouse. The storehouse was a place to gather food for the Levites. There's the tithe that you do for your family so your family can celebrate a feast. And, you know, I guess I'd have to study that a little bit more, is the feast at the temple. Because that was, That probably is true. That's probably why that tithe is no longer applicable either, because you're supposed to, and this is just off the top of my head, I haven't researched as well, but the reason you were supposed to be able to take the tithe, the food, and sell it and turn it into cash in order to make the journey to the temple for the celebration and then buy food, drink, wine, and so forth for your family to enjoy, to celebrate. But if there's no temple, maybe there's no tithe for that either. I have to check that. And that's another one to research. Boy. Anyway. So I'm so many things. There was a great conversation today about, I won't go into that because that was also, this Bible stuff was really fantastic. The author is superb. Really superb. But I find a joy when I hear something like these two gentlemen, James Corbett and Keith Knight, talking back and forth, and they have some intellectual prowess in the dialogue. I find that delightful rather than, oh, isn't this pleasant? Don't we do, you know? I find it fascinating. You know, again, this wasn't one of their greatest ones, but the way Volvin and Lexis can absolutely, it shows the fallacy of people in power. And they've got a lot of people in power. That's why they've been banned from YouTube. Anyway, so it's on, you know, our YouTube and on Rumble. So it's, you know, so, and another VK, which is also Russian. My Russian's not that good. Is it any good? Nyet. That's about it. Da, nyet. I don't know the numbers. Anyway, but the original Kaiser Kurios video, you know, I've done that, talked about it several times. The question I ask at the end is that you know, the picture that you see there, me pointing at the guy, is what I'm saying. Is that you? Because the photo is, you know, it's August, Gustav, I forget the last names, and my name. I have all, it's laying over there somewhere, with that photo. Because I claimed that guy there with his arms folded, not doing the Bellamy salute, you know, saluting Hitler and whoever it was, the other gentleman. He didn't do it. And so I said, that's me. In other words, I'm not part of the crowd. I'm not going to salute the Kaiser. Instead. And then, of course, the ended, is that you? So it's really a serious question. Are you going to be the one saluting Hitler and... It wasn't Himmler, it was... anyway, the other guy that was with him. Because they're the leadership, they're the ones in power. Is that you? Or do you say, no. My Lord is Jesus Christ. The follow-up video, the way I end... My Lord is Jesus Christ, not the state. And I said that with some emotion. And I said it several times. Anyway. I'm under attack. I don't think it's all that serious. But I could be wrong. So I'm taking it serious. I've locked things all the tighter. And I'm keeping my eye on it. And my focus right now is to find out why periodically it goes down and stays down, because that shouldn't happen. It didn't happen before. Why is it happening now? So trying to find that out, because I'm about a month behind, maybe even more, and that's a problem. I've done a lot of great things. One of my big issues is my hiking has dropped dramatically because I'm working and I'm working and I'm working. I'm getting tired. One more day of work and then a day off. Again, I'm weird. But I'm doing this because I understand about there's nothing new under the sun. But there are the elect, the remnant that God has. And I want to be a blessing to them. Protecting the whistleblower. And the Shofar Book Project, which there's been some other thoughts in that. But anyway, I want to do that. And I want to find somebody else to join me. Maybe, Lord willing, one day soon. My lady, my wife. Another short video. See, I told you it was going to get shorter. I want to talk to my kids. I want to talk to my kids. I want to hold them. I want to actually hold a grandchild. I have at least three. I want to hold my wife. She promised. And I have another problem coming up. I'm running out of cards. I think, you know, I added one line, then another, and I'll add a third to show that it's the fourth batch. And I really wonder if I'll use the word indoor. Because lasket.org/indoor. It's not there right now, but I know how to do it. Because, you know, again, it's the idea of he who endures to the end will be saved. The endure is to abide under. Literally, check this. Check and see if what I say is true. By definition, it's made up of two words, and it's to abide under. Under who? Christ. Those that abide under Christ to the end are saved. And if you look at also John 6, if you are literally, from God's perspective, abiding under him, you're going to be there to the end because he's the one holding you. Which is marvelous, because I find that I'm weak. My lady, my wife, please, take my hand again. You promised, and so did I. I'm keeping the promise. My lady, I love you, and I want you back.